Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening to you all. This is the Business Day Spotlight, your destination for African business made simple. My name is Mliwa Gabaza, and for today, we're getting into the world of platforms, the world of online marketplaces, but more specifically, marketplaces for movers. If you are in a situation where you are trying to move a particular piece of furniture, or you're literally moving, you know, either out of a certain place into a new house, whatever it is, if there is a need to move around big items, there are companies that specialize in that type of thing. Many of us have used them, but you know, this is my first encounter with a platform that has you know, aggregated a number of these different services onto one platform, and we're just going to get a sense of what's going on there. So we're joined by the team from A Wise Move, and we're joined by Shantae Fenta, and we're just going to get a sense of you know, what's going on in the space. Shantae, greetings to you today.
Hi, Mudiwa. Thank you so much. It's so great to chat to you. And yeah, I'm excited to delve into this conversation, this topic.
Okay. So I know that I probably am a very, I am a sample size of one. I am a sample size of one. And in almost every instance that I've ever used a moving company, I currently reside in Johannesburg, and there are two instances within which I typically use a moving company. The first is when I've had to move, you know, actual houses. I'm moving into a new place. That's an obvious one, and I've just tended to ask, you know, or to use people that my friends have used. And then the second instance is where I've bought a big piece of furniture, and I need someone to transport it for me. And usually you either know a person, or depending on which shopping center you go to, there may be some guys that are hanging around in the area, you know, for such opportunities. And then in certain instances, the shop will literally say, these are the guys that we have on our roster. You know, they cost X amount to move something. So, like I said, I'm just a sample size of one, but maybe you can give us some insight into, you know, Wise Move, what you were trying to solve for when you founded the business all those years ago, and if anything has changed in terms of that initial rationale, you know, 8 or so years later.
Yeah, thanks, Mudiwa. I think that you've touched on so many points, and they're all very relevant. You know, when you're kind of looking for these types of services, something that everyone has to do at some stage in their life, you know, we're all looking for new opportunities, moving for work, moving for loved ones, or we are, like you say, you know, upgrading our furniture, and we need to get a heavy couch from the bottom floor, from the ground floor to the ninth floor, and who are you going to get to help you with that, you know? So, you know, we're kind of like the Uber for movers. So the idea is to bring this industry that's very unregulated and offline into the online space. So, and one of the reasons we did that is for trust. So like you mentioned, what are the reasons that you, you know, how do you find movers? You ask a friend, you know, so if they've used someone, they've had a good experience, that's how you'd then use that person. But now what if they don't have availability? It's month end, it's busy, and, you know, they can't help you. Now they recommend someone else that they know, but you actually don't have any idea if this guy is going to give you the right service, if they're going to look after your things the way you'd like it to be looked after. So that's where Wise Move comes in. It's a community, a platform that helps bring these quality service providers onto one platform, and then also keep them accountable. So it's just helping to bring transparency to an industry that desperately needs it.
So maybe we can get into some of the, you know, some of the metrics You guys have been in business, I believe, since 2017. You've just outlined the rationale for starting, the platform. What does the platform look like today? How many, movers are on the platform? I don't know whether or not you count the number of completed moves and that type of thing. And anything else that you can share, some people like to tell us how much money they make, but it's up to you.
No, for sure. So we're actually in the process of releasing our first migration report. So this is something that we're putting together to share this data. We do have a wealth of data. And so happy to talk about it and just share with you guys what we've been able to achieve. And it has been a very long process. So I think where we are today, and it almost feels like a snowball effect. Every year, whatever we achieve, that sets the pace for the next year. So at the moment, we've got around 500 moving companies who've partnered with us. So that's, and honestly, that's scratching the surface. That is only a fraction of the small, medium enterprises that operate within this space in South Africa. So we're very excited to keep growing and keep expanding. And then we've done around, and so this is the interesting part, because we've done around 25,000 plus moves, over the last few years. But this year alone, we are set to equal that number in moves. So it just, even though over the last few years was a slow progression, now that we've kind of reached this point, it's just like an avalanche. Another number that I can share is that we are very proud to say that we've last year been able to generate around 20 million in revenue for our partners. So just another, we're trying to keep building on that. And this year we're hoping to double that number. But it's been quite a journey to help these companies and help them grow and expand their roots and their businesses and employ more people. And through that, make a bigger, get more revenue for their businesses.
If I may just quickly check, the 20 million, that's for customers. Do you guys have a sense of what the average price of a move is? And I say that knowing that that's usually weight driven, it's distance driven, it's manpower driven, but I'm not sure, how you gauge something like that. Is there an average?
Like you say, it really depends on where you're going, what you're doing. But I think what I can say is that, many people who use Wise Moves, so that's kind of the point that we're trying to show people is, it's not necessarily, you don't have to use Wise Moves. You can use Wise Moves to get quotes, to compare, and then make your decision. After that, you decide you'd like to try it yourself. You're only doing a few things, or you have a lot of time. You can make multiple trips. Or you see that, you can get a team of guys to come and help you bring their small one-ton Kia truck and quickly move your one-bedroom things from one point in Joburg to another point for a little bit less than 2,000 rand. That's literally it depends on the day, if it's mid-month or peak move period during the month at the end of the month. But I think a lot of people are generally quite shocked at what they can, what the quotes would be. So, and the reason why it's often less than what you'd get if you were to go directly to a moving company and getting a quote is that the platform has created a little bit of a competitive edge to it. So when a company quotes, that quote is visible. So it's public and everyone can see it, including any competitors. So if another guy is in that area and they can offer a better price because they don't have to pay fuel, they maybe have an open day, they can then offer 100 rand less, Now the next guy is maybe new to the platform and he'd really like to get started, and he might offer another discount, 50 rand less, to kind of get into the swing of things. So that's how it kind of ends up giving you that better price, but still with reputable you know, companies that are going to give you the best possible service. And then on the other hand, you know, now that's our local moves. When we look at large, you know, interprovincial moves, you often get that, you know, if you ask a company directly, they're going to give you their standard price. It's this route, it's this truck, this is what we charge, okay? But if you use Wise Move, you could get someone who maybe already got a delivery to Cape Town, and now what they're looking for is a return load to help them not have an empty load. So they're willing to give you a much better price to make sure that they're not running empty. They're still paying their fuel. They're still paying their teams. Everyone's happy.
You know, one of the things that I'm quite curious to get your sense on is, what do you call this? When people are moving around and you've got all of those different, you know, use cases that are there. This is a question that I tend to ask people that I interact with that have either launched a platform or are operating a platform. How do you worry at all about what you call this disintermediation? Is it something that you protect against, that, you know, people will gain certain contact and just start operating, you know, independent of the platform, you know, and all of that stuff? How are you guys thinking around that?
So I think at the end of the day, it is, you know, I understand why that would be an issue for many companies, but we're aware of it. And obviously, you know yourself, that's exactly how it works. If you use a moving company once, and next time you need to move, you've had a great experience. Why wouldn't you just go with that same company? So that does happen with Wise Move as well. You know, clients will use Wise Move, find a company, have such a great experience, and next time they move, they will, you know, use that company. If they know of a friend who wants to move, they might either recommend Wise Move or they might just directly recommend this company. And I think that our mindset around that is that it's a partnership. You know, we are there to help these companies grow and expand and, you know, reach their full potential, help more clients. It's not about trying to capture the entire industry and make sure that we get every single booking. We want our partners to succeed. So like I said, we're still scratching the surface in terms of what we can achieve. And those repeat jobs, they aren't necessarily our target market. So we want our partners to know that, you know, they can get that business if they do a good job. And at the end of the day, them doing a good job and doing the best they can do, that benefits not only them, but also us. So yeah, it is something to consider, but it's not something that we're worried about.
Okay. And it is an interesting one, you know, like you said, that it's almost a toss-up. And right now, it does seem as if people that are registering, at least from a service provider point of view, it does seem as if people across the board that are registering their services on many of these platforms do tend to stay, you know, for the long term, because we are seeing marketplaces in one form or another, you know, coming up, you know, all over the place. You guys call yourselves the Uber of movers and moving. Others, you know, will use similar descriptions and be like, maybe we're the Uber for cleaning services, we're the Uber for, you know, a host of other things that are out there. Interestingly enough, Naspers, which is the biggest company in South Africa, they released a report, I believe it was a month or 2 months ago, you know, to say they're quite bullish on the fact that marketplaces are just going to continue to rise, that the last decade has been a decade of huge growth, you know, across the board for marketplaces, whether you're looking at Uber itself, you know, the likes of a Takealot, the likes of a Sweep South, you know, and all of these other business. But one of the things that I'm also then curious about is the extent to which the platform gets involved with the partners that are part of their network. Some people will take an almost, I won't call it, they'll take a hands-off, we are an aggregator, you know, type of approach, and, you know, just go on and say, you know, you guys can do whatever you want. Whereas others would then go to the other end of the extreme where, as much as we're all in the gig economy, you know, you are branding the service as, you know, Wise Move, and the people that are, even though they're independent, maybe they will start displaying stickers on their vehicles that say Wise Move, etc. Where are you guys when it comes to that specifically?
So I think it's brilliant question, because I think it's really important to kind of answer this. We obviously in the moving industry, there are certain standards that we want to uphold. You know, someone, the entire point of Wise Move is to make sure that the end user has a seamless, stress-free experience. So in order to achieve that, we have to have certain standards that we, you know, share with our partners. But then on the same hand, we're not like, you know, if you look at the UK, you've got some platforms that would, for instance, the client who's booking would book with the platform, not with the actual moving company. And that's completely different with us. We actually promote the moving companies, and their business details are all over, you know, when they quote, the client can see who they're booking with. They have profiles that, you know, share their reviews and where they can add photos. We have recently started, and this is more a case of, so we've recently started, like what you said, like adding maybe logos and, you know, like whatever, which is more branded towards the platform. And the reason why we started doing that is because there was a, you know, more of a request from the carriers. So it's actually been really great to collaborate with these companies and see the effect that we can have on their businesses as well. And that, you know, like we spoke earlier, like it's almost building that relationship with them, you know, where loyalty also comes into play. So now we would, for instance, have some of our carriers wearing Wise Move shirts, because they feel like it's their uniform. You know, when they go out, they work exclusively with Wise Move, and they want people to see that, you know, they're getting a Wise Move team that's coming to help them. So small things like that, definitely we are open to helping our carriers. We are looking at, you know, some of the carriers are starting to ask us, would we be willing to do co-branding on their trucks, you know, because they'd love to upgrade, they'd love to have their trucks looking neater and stuff. So that's something that we're looking into. But it's not like we're trying to hide the companies. The clients know exactly who they're booking with, but they know that they have the backing and support of Wise Move.
All right. I think that makes, you know, sense from that point of view. Like you said, I guess for the reputation of the platform, there does need to be a standardization of some sort. And I guess an assurance around quality of service and that type of thing that does, you know, then come in. Now, Shante, it does seem as if, you know, one of the reasons I was asking that question is because, you know, we find ourselves in a space where, from a scaling point of view, this is one of the things that marketplaces tend to struggle with sometimes. If you have a simple platform and you just become an aggregator, then it becomes easy to have hundreds, if not thousands, of people just registering for the platform. They get leads, they do business, you take a commission, life is good. But where you start implementing an element of standardization, maybe an element of branding training, you know, quality assurance and that type of thing, that tends to be the hardest thing to replicate and, you know, scale.
I think it is an important point, but you have to weigh up what are you trying to achieve, you know. So for us, it has been quality assurance. That is fundamental to what we do. And it hasn't been impossible to scale. We found that, you know, we've branched out to different countries already. We are able to launch and replicate what we've done so far. And I think the biggest thing is to try, like you say, identify those bottlenecks and make sure that you can streamline those specific processes. And I think as we grow, we continuously identify where are things kind of struggling and then, you know, find solutions for that. But we don't want anything to compromise on quality, because that's just what makes us different. And I think in the moving industry, there are so many, you know, like websites that will basically just sell your information, and there's no quality assurance. And I think people are aware of that and they're wary of that, you know. So being different, even though we are trying to build a massive, you know, startup company, we still try to keep those small focuses in mind, you know, that is what's driving us. And as we grow. So yeah, I think it is a valid point, but I think there's still so much room to grow and to scale while still keeping your focus on what's important to you and your mission.
All right. On that note of you know, the platform itself, the number of people that you have, I think you said 500 you know, businesses are registered on the platform right now. Two questions on that front. Firstly, how does WiseMove make money? What's your commercialization model? And then secondly, where are you guys operating? Is it across South Africa? Is it specific towns and cities? Like, how is that working?
So to answer your first question, we have a booking success fee that we charge to our carriers. So we don't, it's not like other platforms where you might have a subscription model or where you have a cost per quote or anything like that. Once there's a successful booking with WiseMove, there's a booking success fee added to the carrier's account. So it's something that, you know, the carriers are essentially our clients, and the client, the end user, then the person moving, is directly working with the carrier. So they will quote as per normal, and then only once a booking is made, that's when there's a booking success fee added. So that's our model, and it's been very successful because I think it shows that mutual responsibility. You know, we only win when our partners win. So yeah, and I mean, a lot of that profit, it's been a very slow process and, you know, very slow growth, because we push everything back into the business. Everything goes back into marketing, to help our partners to bring in more work for them at the end of the day.
I was actually just gonna quickly ask, because I'm realizing that, you know, as you're talking about the end user, you're talking about the movers themselves, we're talking about WiseMove. We hadn't spoken as much about the people that are moving, you know, the Mudiwas and the Shantays of this world, that are trying to get their stuff moved. What's the customer acquisition strategy on that point? Because like we spoke about at the beginning of the conversation, people tend to find people to move their stuff in such different ways. How have you gotten people into, you know, a culture of using your platform to where, you know, you've got these 25,000 moves that you've been able to do over the years?
Yeah. So I think, again, it comes back to building trust. You know, we've been able to work with the best of the best in the industry, and that thing brings credibility to our platform. But then also, you know, we have a very strong focus on SEO. So we try to build our online presence, you know, get to the first page of Google. If someone's looking for moving services, they're going to be finding us. So that's one of the big focuses, and how we, the majority of the time, that's how clients find us. But then also, as you say, like, it's such a big culture in South Africa to have that word of mouth, you know, recommendation. And especially in an industry like ours, where it's very stressful and, you know, you want to have the best possible experience, people are very willing to share if they've had a great experience. So that's been one of our biggest acquisition models, like to just get more clients, is if someone else has recommended WiseMove to a friend. And even our carriers, a lot of them sign up through recommendations from other carriers in the industry. So they might find that, you know, they're doing well, and someone sees that, asks them, and then they'll say, yeah, they're working with WiseMove. So that's been a great model for us. And obviously, as we've grown and we started making revenue, we also invest heavily into marketing and Google Ads, you know, all of those types of models.
All right, cool. And then outside of what you've just described, I guess it's almost similar to what we were talking about, you know, earlier on, that whole thing of, do you find people coming back to use the platform? You know, moving it's such an infrequent thing that people do. So we'd be curious around, you know, the trends on the consumer side.
We do have people who reuse the site, you know, often, and we always we call it super movers or super users, because they just they love the site so much, and they might be someone who is moving house. They use us once, they realize what an amazing experience it was. Next time they need to buy a couch, they go back to the site, they get those services. They need to send something back to Johannesburg to a family member, they'll use WiseMove again. And then we also do different categories. So we often have people who want to move home, but then also use the site to move their car and maybe their pets. So we do get people who use it for different reasons, over multiple times over a period of years. And then that's always so nice to see as well. Like, just people coming back and giving us those compliments, like, yeah, they just had such a great experience. And can we help them? They need to do this, you know? And then we're like, of course we can. So yeah, it's always nice.
All right. And then when it comes to, a little bit further on the business side, we've spoken about your commercial model and all of that. Funding-wise, you mentioned earlier on that you guys are plowing everything that most of what you're getting, you know, back into the business. But have you had to raise any external funding? I would imagine that. From the outside, it sounds like it's a capital light business, but I may be wrong.
No, it is. We are bootstrapped. So we haven't received any funding. The funds that we do get in, a lot of it goes back into just building the business. But what we did is we have the right team. So, you know, the right founding team. We've got a developer. We've got, you know, skills in SEO, marketing, sales, everything. And we all put in our time to bring this business to where it is. And so, yes, it was quite light, but luckily, because we had the skills in-house, I think there's, you know, if you don't have those skills in-house, you would have to hire someone, and that could then you would need funding, you know. So we've been quite fortunate to be able to be our own bosses, do our own thing, and that allows us a lot of freedom to experiment and play and learn as we go. So it's been a really good journey, but it's been slow. So I think with funding, you can obviously do a lot faster, but we've opted for the other route. And I think it's been good, seeing as it is such a sensitive industry, to not just have endless amounts of money to kind of make fast decisions, but rather to make decisions as we see how things are progressing and where the need lies.
And currently, whatever you are plowing into the business, what is that actually going into? You mentioned marketing. I remember, you know, that much there. I guess that's part of the customer acquisition side of things. But what else are you spending your money on?
We have some really cool projects. So it's been so nice, you know. I think especially working in South Africa and having to help bring essentially an informal sector you know, into something more formal and online. We've had the privilege of starting some really cool projects, and a lot of our money goes back into that. So one of the things that we do is we help our partners with professional photography. So, you know, we'll get a photographer to go out, meet them on a move, and then take some professional shots of their team. You know, we then give them, you know, some, like I said, you know, the teams often love to get t-shirts and stuff. So we'll give them t-shirts and just make them feel like, you know, they can showcase their best side, you know? So that's something that we'll spend money on. We often try not to, you know, when it comes to the online world and, you know, publishing and all of that, we try to rather go the organic route and not pay for advertising, except when it comes to Google ads. So we often do, you know, we do paid Google ads, and that's very effective for us. And yeah, I think except for that, it's just cool projects. How can we help the people who are working with us? We just recently, you know, another producer reached out to us to do a video documentary on car transport in South Africa. So just another thing where we're very happy to work with them and try and bring that knowledge to, you know, to the public.
I'm very curious to get your sense on appetite to move into other areas. When I look at the landscape, I saw that Uber, for example, now has an option, you know, to do what you're doing, which is, you know, actual moving. But they've obviously started out with, you know, the ride hailing, then, you know, deliveries on Uber Eats, business deliveries, etc. So do you have appetite to expand into other areas, you know, from a marketplace and transporting point of view? Or do you see yourselves still being able to just grow specifically in moving?
Yeah, we are definitely keeping our focus on what we're doing. So we get requests and a lot of traffic from people wanting to have small items delivered, but we feel like they are very good, you know, alternatives in the market. Our focus is on big, bulky, difficult to transport. And I think, you know, it's interesting, you know, you mentioned now Uber, and it's something that, you know, we often talk about, like, it might be an issue for them in the future because they're not prepared for the issues that will arise. You know, like, it's not as simple, like, to move a big bulky couch or a cabinet or whatever. And if you are, you know, if you don't have the right teams with the right equipment, the right, you know, like, they must blankets and wrapping and all of that, then you're going to get a lot of damage. You know, you're going to get people who are going to complain. It's not going to go well. And I think with Uber at the moment, how they are kind of launching this product is they're allowing the current, like, teams that are on Uber to start branching into the space. And what's happening is we've just got guys, you know, buying Buc-ee's or, you know, lending a Buc-ee from a friend and going for these deliveries, which I think could lead to some issues. So it's an interesting space, something to keep an eye on. But for us, we want to stay focused on our goal. And our goal is to offer quality service and solutions within this specific industry.
Interesting that you mentioned some of that complexity that comes with the moving industry, and that, you know, companies, competitors, rivals that enter the space need to be cognizant of how the space actually operates. Maybe that's where we can end off today's discussion then, Shante, to say, in such situations, right, let's say I am with Wise Move, and then I'm just moving houses along the way, something of mine gets damaged. Who takes the risk? Is it the platform or is it the moving company?
Most of our movers have insurance. So that's one of the things that, you know, it's important to, when you're looking at quotes, make sure that you've got a company that's got insurance, that you are covered. If something does happen on a move, You know, these guys are professional. They want to make sure that their clients are happy, that if there is a complaint, that it's resolved. And that's where we come in. If there is a complaint that's not being resolved, then we assist our clients and make sure that a resolution is, you know, found. So we are looking at new, you know, exciting things like having insurance on the Wise Move platform that covers your move. And, you know, so there's new things coming. But for now, that is our role, to help and assist and make sure that a resolution is found, that, you know, if there is something that needs to be replaced, that the insurance claim is put through, or that if there's something that needs to be fixed, that is covered.
All right. Maybe on the last point, Shantae, we can just zoom out a little bit. We've been talking quite a bit about your specific marketplace, but we've also touched on other types of marketplaces and the fact that, you know, this seems to really be the direction that many industries have gone in. If you were, you know, Shantae, a Shantae in 2025 who doesn't have a Wise Move but is interested in creating some type of a marketplace, where do you see the opportunity, you know, right now? Obviously, this is more a question of, you know, if you were to advise someone, someone comes to you and says, Shantae, I'm keen, you know, to also get involved in what some people call marketplaces, other people are calling it the gig economy, all of this. Where are the opportunities?
So, you know, I think something interesting that I've learned along the road is that it doesn't necessarily have to be something new. You don't have to find a solution for something that there's nothing, you know, like I think everything has some sort of a solution at this stage, like even if it's really, really bad. And I think that's maybe where people need to start looking. Where can they do something better? You know, even if there is a solution on the market, could you potentially do that same thing, but just a lot better than what it's already being done, or how it's already being done? So I don't think I can give a specific industry that I would. I think there are so many. I personally, I love working with people, and helping people, you know, be the best that they can be. And I think even in South Africa, even though we have, you know, platforms like Fiverr and Upwork and all these international, I still think there's an opportunity for someone to come in and create something local, that could help that sector of the market.
All right. That's where we land today's conversation, just talking about the world of moving. Very interesting, you know, just to understand some of the dynamics that are at play in that particular market, what it actually takes, you know, to bring hundreds of businesses onto one platform, and what it takes to continue having a relationship with both the consumer, but in Shantae's case, more importantly, the movers, you know, that make up their platform, over 500, you know, businesses that are, yeah, that are currently registered since 2017, and, you know, over 25,000 moves that have been completed. Shantae just talking about the fact that the goal is to double that, is that they are on track to double that in the current year. And, you know, that will also see a possible doubling of, you know, revenue that, you know, has been generated for the partner network, currently at 20 million rand. And, you know, very keen to see how that develops over time. Talking quite a bit about this concept of disintermediation, which a lot of marketplaces tend to suffer from. Some people seem to be better than others when it comes to retaining the consumer side versus the service provider side, making sure that people continue to use the platform. Because what tends to happen, you know, just simple behavior, is that once people, you know each other, have experienced a good service, they tend to, you know, take their relationship off platform and, you know, continuing it that way. But this is something that Shantae says that she's not too worried about, you know, because of the type of relationship that they've been able to develop, you know, with the different sides of that ecosystem. equation, also talking about efforts to ensure quality, some of the standardization, some of the branding efforts, and how that works, also talking about how the business has funded itself. She said bootstrapping, that's how they've gone about it over the last few years, and with the money that comes in being plowed back into the business, a lot of that being spent on marketing and advertising to bring more consumers and users on board, but also at the same time helping certain instances of their partner network, such as professional photography and that type of thing. Also interesting, just getting a sense of the competitive landscape and some of the complexity that comes with operating in this industry. And for now, Shantae says that this is an area that they are doubling down on. They still see growth in it, and for now, not really open to getting into other, let's call them verticals, around that. But, saying we are just going to stay where we are, they still see room for growth. So that's been it. We were chatting with Shantae Fenter, just giving us a sense of what's going on in the world of Wise Move. Shantae, thank you so much for being with us today.
Thank you so much, Madiwa. It's lovely.
And that's been it for this edition of the Business Day Spotlight. Remember that you can find our latest podcasts on Business Live. That's under the podcast Business Day Spotlight tab on Twitter. We're hashtag BD Spotlight. And remember that you can review and subscribe for free on iono.fm, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, Pocket Casts, or wherever you choose to get your pods casted. Thank you to our amazing team. I've been Mudiwa Gavaza of the Business Day and Financial Mail. And this has been another edition of the Business Day Spotlight, which is a multimedia live production. So, for myself and the rest of the team, it is good evening, good afternoon, and good morning.